Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Buzzed Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Chrissy, your mom.
And we are going to be covering Agent Carter, Season 2, Episode 10, the series finale, Hollywood Ending.
Whoa, yeah.
I would like to begin by saying this is clearly not meant to be the series finale. They set up so many things for a third season, or... Yeah, no, just for a third season. It's not a spinoff. There's not a spinoff. It's there should have been a third season.
Yeah, really, really. There it is very obvious. I think what must have happened is they had like enough stuff to start a third season, but not, you know, they hadn't really completed it. And then they were going to get canceled. And I'm like, but wait, we have this material. It feels like the last couple episodes were stretched a little bit from things that they probably intended to have in a third season. Like, yeah, there would have been a cliffhanger and then we come back into a third season where, you know, we're resolving the Whitney Frost stuff, whatever. And for whatever reason, you know, I feel like they just kind of, this it feels patchworked, piecemealed. And it's sad.
We'll talk about more about that in a minute. All right.
Yes. We have disclaimers, yeah. Which include that there will be cursing. There will be spoilers for a series that is now over and has been for years that you can't possibly find online. And we are having things to drink. What are you having to drink, Natalie?
I'm having a gold Underwood can.
A gold Underwood can. There's something cheerful. Perky. I am having something I'm calling a Hollywood sunset because it's got different layers of things in it. I as you know, have been playing with pineapple juice and ginger beer, and the things I put into this I don't think blended terribly well with that base combination. So I put some peach puree in it. And then I thought, ooh, to make it sunset, I can put some raspberry puree in it.
Oh, no.
And then I put some Prosecco on top of it. And it's like, this is not a good combination. But it looks kind of cool. So we're going with that.
Sure. So let's get started with episode 10, Hollywood Ending. 60 seconds ago, Peggy was holding Thompson at gunpoint to make him put the detonator down. A blast goes off and knocks them over, but it wasn't the bomb. They go back inside and find zero matter all over the floor. They find Wilkes feeling weak, and the zero matter is gone from his body. He's free. The zero matter all goes into Whitney, just like she wanted. And there are barely any repercussions for her body in that way. It's so interesting. They run away. The team runs away, but the car and Sanderlee are gone, which concerns them. Whitney is going after them, and Jarvis hits her with the car. With Howard Stark in it, they open the car door and Stark goes, Jarvis, you just hit a woman with my car. Jarvis says, I know, sir. Stark says, she's a 2-time Oscar nominee. And Jarvis just goes, Miss Frost is quite resilient, trust me. I mean, he has shot her twice and she bounced back within like 20 seconds. Anyway, Sanderlee shows up and they drive away. They reconvene at the SSR and rounded up Vernon's men. Wilkes tells Peggy and Stark about how the Zero Matter felt cold and distant and such. Wilkes tells Peggy and Stark that it's like a disease and is looking for a new thing to infect. Wilkes feels bad for all he has done. He says, I threatened to kill you, Peggy. And then Stark says, don't worry about that. Peggy's life is always getting threatened. I'm just saying, maybe the problem is you. I love it so much. I love Howard in this episode. He's so fucking funny.
Oh, he's so funny. I mean, he just appears out of nowhere, and he's always this great deus ex machina character.
He's the best. And yeah. Whitney is making plans to open another door with another bomb and keep it open. And Joe is being pushed away, and he doesn't like that. So Joe talks to his Nona, our favorite character, about feeling conflicted because he loves Whitney, but this isn't her.
It is,
though, dude.
Oh, it is.
Just a different amalgamation of her. Wilkes wonders what to do after the gamma cannon is used, and there's still zero matter that's going to be there. They're at like lunch with Peggy and Stark. Stark tries to get him to make a containment unit to study it, but Peggy points out he's just being selfish and he's just going to use it to make more money than he already has. Stark is also upset about there being no mustard. Joe comes in with Jarvis, who's holding mustard at gunpoint, and this conversation happens. Stark says, "Let him put the condiment down. You can't just walk into a man's home and hold his butler hostage." And Joe says, "Oh yeah, well, you can't steal my underwear." What? They're actually good friends, which doesn't really surprise
Obviously.
me. And they laugh about it. Joe is worried about Whitney and wants them to save her. Stark tells them to take the plans Whitney is making and use it for themselves to open up the breach and then find a way to basically banish the zero matter back to its original dimension. Joe tries to get Whitney to leave the room with all of her plans. She's kind of doing, in Queen Charlotte, the whole King George thing where he's like writing on the walls and like doing all
Yeah.
that crazy shit. But that was because of a mental disorder. This is just weird. And so,
It is a mental disorder. It's called zero matter.
sure, a different one, but yes. So Joe tries to get Winnie to leave. He tells her that he needs her help torturing someone. And this actually kind of made me smile, which was cute, because it was cute. She's like, "You need me to be your muscle." And then he says, "Most beautiful muscle there is." And oh, that's cute. Joe deserves better. He's such a cartoon character. I love him so much. She agrees to help. They have a fake interrogation to distract Whitney with one of his employees. He's just like, "Play along, it'll be fine." But he's like actually going for it. Peggy and Sousa take pictures of Whitney's work. Sousa snaps a quick picture of Peggy as a souvenir for her trip to California and tells her that he's glad they got to work together.
Isn't
It's
that cute? They're cute. They are cute.
so cute. Joe has Whitney go to use the zero matter on his employee, and he squeals that he sold Joe out to the feds. And Joe, this I love the way this line is actually spoken. He says, "What are you telling me, Hank? Aw, now I am gonna have to kill you." He's just very nonchalant about it. He's like taking out his gun, ready to do it. And then Whitney just leaves the room and he's like, wait, I forgot about the plan." Peggy and Sousa have to escape out the window. And Sousa changes one of the numbers in an equation to slow Whitney down. We don't know if that actually did anything. We never find out. But the scientists, Stark, Wilkes, and Sanderley are talking about the machine and how they're going to name it. And Jarvis tells Peggy it's to the machine that Whitney wants to make is to bridge the gap between the two dimensions, the zero matter dimension and this one. Wilkes says that he can make a machine to shoot X-rays to keep the zero matter at bay while the portal is open. They plan to use the machine on the vacant studio lot because it's a lot of nothing there, so nobody's going to get hurt. Howard starts flirting with Rose as they construct the machine. I'm sure that probably would have blossomed into something, which would have been interesting, but we'll never know. Because he seems kind of genuine about it. Just a bit. I don't think he's doing it just to piss off Sanderley. It's kind of funny. Anyway, Wilkes tries to apologize to Sousa about like threatening Peggy and using his feelings against him. But Sousa says it's not necessary. Sousa asks why he pulled the gun on Peggy rather than him, and Wilkes says, deductive reasoning. I know you'd fold because I would. That's so interesting. Jarvis says Anna is feeling better. She's talking to Peggy, and he says Anna is feeling better and knows the truth about the whole baby thing. Thompson comes in and is there to help, and Peggy says he can collect dinner orders, and he agrees. That's growth.
It is growth.
So Thompson finds Vernon's briefcase in the office, and ha that has the redacted file on Peggy and the Arena Club pin that is actually a key. And so this is setting up for season three, I'm going to go ahead and say, because which is interesting. I'm going to talk more about what I think season three would have looked like, and my roommate who also watched the show actually did a little bit of research on stuff after she watched it, so she has a little bit more information than me. I'll talk about that at the end. Okay. Wilkes draws a line. They're at the vacant lot. They're setting up the machine. Wilkes draws a line where there is a danger zone of being sucked into the rift. They
right, because it's more space that you need to give the machine is basically
because it. Yeah, you'll get sucked in if you are in within that boundary. They open the rift and Whitney senses it. Stark is trying to shoot golf balls into the rift, but they won't go in. They keep kind of like opposing magnets. Yeah, and Jarvis says, "We are facing an incomprehensible rip in our universe. Use a 7-iron." I love him.
I love that combination of Jarvis. They're and so Howard.
Fucking good.
We don't see them that together as much as we need really
to.
Should.
We need to. Peggy and Thompson talk about how she's not going to turn him in for the Vernon thing, even though they both have dirt on each other and all that stuff. She says she knows that he's a good man, and he shows her the pin key, and she's like, "That's something for another day, which will never come." Anyway. They hear Sandra Lee scream over the radio and then go radio silent, which is concerning. But we don't have time for that because Sousa sees Whitney going towards the rift and completely ignoring the cannon that is clearly right there. She is completely blinded by this. It's ridiculous. It's
calling to her. We just can't hear the voice.
But that doesn't mean you can't look around your surroundings, babe. Like, you could easily have looked to your right and seen that, like, a few feet away. Is
it's a comic book.
And three people about to shoot you. What are you talking about? Mm. Anyway, they shoot her with the cannon. It's very easy. She does not move. She is not a moving target. The Zero Matter goes back into the void, and she's freaking out about it, and her face goes back to normal, so no Zero Matter is left in her, and she's very upset about it. They take her into custody. The rift is becoming unstable, but something's going on with the machine. They can't fix it. They can't figure out how to turn it off.
And they talk about how they can't go to the machine. And the only place you could turn off the machine is at the machine. And you can't go to it because there's this 20-yard
blast space radius, essentially. It.
Yeah.
And also, it's a hand crank thing. Why would it be a hand crank?
Olden times, windows were a hand crank thing in your car. So
I'm aware of that, mother, but come on. We're about to talk about something that's crazier than that. Anyway, there is a manual override, but the person would be in the danger zone when the portal closes. Everyone volunteers, but while they were too busy volunteering, Sousa went ahead and he's like using a hose to like strap himself to a pole.
Man of action. He is our guy. We love that.
And so he goes in and he's just like, "I'll get out when you figure out a better plan." And so he goes for it. And they bring up using the explosives that were in the cannon before, the kind of the core that's explosive. And Jarvis goes to check on something. Sousa starts to levitate because he started to hand crank it, and that's not good. The line breaks, the hose like unravels from the pole, and Peggy and the others grab it to hold on to it and each other. And Stark says, "Peg, I want you to know I'm not thinking any unsavory thoughts," because he has her hands around his hands around her waist, like holding her close so that they don't like fly off into this void.
He's like, "Well, oh, I just had one."
Yeah, "I'm not having any unsavory thoughts about you right now." Oh, wait, there's one. Peggy is merely being pulled into the danger zone, and Sousa notices, and so he tells her to let go, and she's like, "No, fuck no." Jarvis gets Sandra Lee.
Right. This is the difference between her and her relationship with Sousa and her relationship with Wilkes.
She let Wilkes close and lock the door and be in a blast radius of a bomb.
Yeah, but she does not bust let the window Sousa go into a void. No, she's not like taking risks for Wilkes in the way she's taking risks for Sousa.
No. Jarvis gets Sandra Lee and brings him in the car. They plan to put the bomb in the hover car. It's a hover car, by the way. And you can make the fucking hand cranking thing a button. No. Are you fucking kidding? You can make so many other things work. Anyway, it works. The portal closes because of the explosion, and like Sousa basically falls on his face. It's very funny. Sandra Lee was fine. He just fainted and screamed about it for whatever reason. Peggy is relieved that Sousa is okay, but they don't do anything quite yet. Peggy and Howard are talking at breakfast, and Wilkes is now working for Stark on a new exciting project, which, again, we'll never see. And exactly. Peggy is going back to New York. Peggy and Wilkes part on good terms, but they know that their time, it's not the right time, and wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah, but you know, she doesn't even have, like, you know, he talks about, oh, but you know, we could have gone dancing. She's like, we had a dance.
I mean, we did. We tried. It failed.
Yeah, I mean, she's moved on already.
And what I love about this idea is that she never got to dance with Steve.
Yeah.
She never gets to dance with Sousa other than in her dreams.
Yeah.
But she got to dance with Wilkes, and that was nice for a time, but it's not the fantasy she has. Sorry, man.
It's
I mean,
not
you're
all
a
that.
Great guy, but no.
And, yeah.
Peggy welcomes Anna home, like, as she's leaving with her suitcases. She's going to be going to the SSR office, and she's called a taxi, which she also apologizes for what happened, and Anna forgives her, obviously. Mm-hmm. Peggy has rung for a taxi, which offends Jarvis, and Anna, when he leaves to go into the house, Anna begs her to let him drive her at least, and she relents, and Jarvis, like, pops out and, like, okay, has a more pep in his step, and he's like, oh, okay, I've got your bags. Yep. So he loves being a butler. He's great.
He's so funny.
Whitney is in a dressing room and freaking out about the Zero Matter being taken away from her, and Calvin shows up, her dead husband who she killed, shows up and is encouraging her because they're in it together, which they never were, but sure.
Well, but they would say stuff like that in their fake relationship, so it's plausible.
It's true. It's all a fantasy, though, and she's in a mental asylum, and Joe is visiting her, and he can't bring flowers because she would just use them to scratch her face off.
Well,
anyway,
and he also hears her talking to Calvin by name.
Like, yeah, which is probably disheartening for him. That's very unfortunate.
I would think so. It's sad.
Jarvis takes Peggy to the SSR office. Jarvis also tries to convince her to stay in L.A. and says, maybe you just need one compelling reason to stay. And then it cuts immediately to Sousa's office. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I wonder what that compelling reason could be. Sousa finishes up the paperwork on the Isodyne case. Sousa also playfully says, you messed up by not letting me be sucked into the rift, and you failed by your own dispassionate rules. And then Peggy, he's like, no quick comeback, huh, Peggy? And then Peggy kisses him and they make out, and then she pulls away for a second. He goes, good point. And then they make out more.
Yeah, it's cute. It's
so
very,
cute.
Very cute.
It's so cute.
And that's it.
No, it's not. Thompson hears, no, it's not. Did you not watch this last scene?
Maybe not.
Stopped at the like
kissing part.
No, there's another scene, Mom.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Thompson hears on the phone that Peggy is taking more vacation time in L.A. I wonder why. He's at his hotel room, and he's packing up to go back to New York, which was originally the plan. He was going to go back with Peggy.
Mm-hmm.
There's a knock at the door, and when he opens the door, someone shoots and kills him and takes Peggy's redacted file.
Is it Dottie?
No. We don't know who it is. It's A. I'm kidding. But it's very encoded. It's very encoded.
Crossover,
like,
we never
like,
wanted.
They're in a suit. They're in a suit.
It's a guy?
Yes. We're pretty sure. And what the funny thing is, my roommate Sophie, who watched this as well, I was talking to her about this earlier today, and how, like, they left us on a cliffhanger and all that stuff, because I did not remember that.
I didn't remember that either, and I stopped it. Shit.
I know. It's okay. It's okay. And so I was talking to her about it. I was just like, yeah, I guess they left it so open-ended. And she's like, well, they had a comic series afterwards to, like, tie up the loose ends, and, like, they revealed who it was in that. And I'm just like, how? What? Huh?
What?
You want to know who it was?
Yes.
They do kind of plant some seeds to a certain degree. It's Peggy's dead brother. He's not dead anymore.
Well, well. And so his name was Michael, seeds. If I remember right.
His name is
M.
Michael.
Carter, and it's a file about him.
Yes.
That's what I was thinking at the time.
M. Carter. It's about him, and that massacre was about him. And he wanted, essentially, the vibe I'm getting is that he was on the run and he faked his death in the army and he was able to get away with it. And so he just faked his death and he's been on the run ever since. And then once he found out his file was found, and this is all speculation on my part, I have not read the comic series that goes along with it, but I do think they planted the seeds for it. I think that bringing up the backstory with Peggy was a way to plant the seeds. It seemed odd at the time, but it was planting the seeds for a third season where this would be the big mystery. But obviously that didn't happen. We don't know what the key for the with the arena club pin is about. We'll never know about that, but yeah, I think that actually is an interesting twist that he is alive, and he does show up in that musical noir sequence at the beginning of the last episode. So I think it makes sense. I think they were planting seeds for it, but what we never got to see it. And so I do remember ending on a cliffhanger, but I thought it was because, well, the way I remembered it, which is completely wrong, but the way I remembered it was they were, I remembered them like Sousa being like o being almost pulled into the rift, them holding on to him, and then it cutting to black. That's what I remember. But I was wrong. There was a resolution to a certain degree. But then also there wasn't because Thompson's dead. So I mean, that's unfortunate, but crazy, right?
That is wild. But I remember when it said M. Carter, I was thinking that her brother's name was Michael, so it
I
could be
wasn't
him.
thinking that. I was thinking Margaret, but you know what? Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And her being like that was clearly faked. It's like, but why would they have the file?
Right. Why would the file even exist? So yeah, it's interesting to me. I thought it might have been like dirt on her brother from the way back, like before he was killed in action or whatever it was that happened to him.
And I had thought that in the file when he was looking at the redacted parts, it said Margaret, but and maybe it did,
No, it
but
said M. Carter. It
no,
said Agent
I know on
Carter.
the side part of the
No,
file, but I thought when he looked at the redacted part, I was wrong.
in the redacted part, it just says Agent Carter. It doesn't say the name.
Interesting. But yeah, unfortunate. But it makes, again, planted seeds, but then they never sprouted.
What happened to Dottie? That's what I want
I would love to know what happened to Dottie.
to know.
She
Like,
got out of that necklace somehow and she's on the run.
she's on the run doing
I
crazy
feel like
shit.
she
Maybe
would have been a
she's
fun.
sleeping with Peggy's brother. That could be an
That would be
interesting thing.
so fucking funny.
Wouldn't
But you know,
it be fun?
I think that she is one of those people who is so much fun to have like pop in every season just for like an episode
Chaos.
or two. Because I think they did that really well in this season, which we can talk about when we talk about the seasons and stuff like that. So let's start with best part, worst part. So my best parts are Jarvis. Howard Stark is hilarious in this episode. I love him. Joe is really funny in this episode. He's like, we all want the same thing, the best for Whitney. And everyone's like, no, we just want to stop her. But he clearly has her best interest at heart. Peggy and Sousa are fucking adorable. And Thompson for stepping up. Those are my best parts.
All right. So
Your best
my
parts?
best parts were Peggy and Susan's kiss. I really like the kiss. I think, we've had all this buildup. I like that kind of payoff, and they're both happy and they're both good people, and I like them. I love Jarvis. I just love him.
Oh, I also love Anna. Sorry, I also would like to say Anna.
And Gaelus, right? Whatever. The doctor,
Sandrily.
Sandrally is cute. I like Howard and Wilkes like having some resolution there. What were your worst parts?
Whitney being evil and stupid. Like, she's evil, but then she also is blind because there's clearly a fucking cannon there, babe. Like, how did you not see it? Thompson getting killed, that's crazy. And which, again, it would be totally fine with me if they had another season. But that's so funny that that's the way the show ends. And the cliffhanger.
So I again, because I missed that entirely, I didn't include it because I was thinking, oh, it's just too tidy of an ending, and
It wasn't.
it wasn't. It clearly was not. I felt like parts of it were, and I still feel that way. The fact that Dottie's still out there, that is completely unresolved to me and not okay. This Thompson thing, not okay. One of the things I have mixed feelings about the Peggy and Sousa kiss, in part because of the Marvel canon, right? Because
Sure.
Steve going back and marrying her, like she's in New Jersey. When does that part of the timeline exist? Because
Yeah.
she it would have been post SSR for her to be in New Jersey working for Howard.
Yeah.
So I'm not really getting.
I think they probably would have set, but obviously this
It's
was
a
more.
multiverse thing. And you know,
Yes,
I
this
hate the
is.
multiverse.
I
I
know you
really
do.
fucking hate multiverses.
I'm aware. I think the situation is that they probably would have set it up so that, because Winter Soldier had come out maybe at this point or was about to. And so I think they were probably going to, with whatever last season they were going to have, like have them maybe move back to New York, New Jersey area and start the SSR branch there. Maybe she's the chief there.
Or
And
maybe Sousa got killed and she has to go back and she has more heartbreak and things.
also possible. But I think that there were a plethora of things they could have done. I think the confusing part, I mean, we'll never know when slash where that last little scene of them dancing together was in Endgame. But obviously it was before Sousa, well, not before Sousa necessarily, but
That's my
before
point.
she got together with Sousa. And if it wasn't, that's depressing. But
Well, I mean, it just doesn't make a ton of sense. I mean, it's a multiverse issue regardless, and I don't like it.
to be fair, this was an unfinished show, first of all.
Yes.
Second of all, they had no idea what Endgame was going to do. And I don't really think they cared about that. So,
Well, and then you've got the whole Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness thing with the Peggy Carter and that. It's like
oh,
just
that's the
weird.
what if one.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, so I'm not a multiverse person. What grade did you give this episode?
A minus.
Yeah, it's kind of A minus B plus to me, but with the Thompson thing, it's more of an A minus because honestly, I felt like there were like it was just
Too easy.
yeah.
Agreed. And then they
Yeah.
killed Thompson, and I was like, oh, you know what?
Not as easy as
Not as
I
easy as it looks.
thought.
Because they, again, the whole side quest with him going to London and getting the redacted file, and it's just like, if it would have been so easy, it would have
No.
been so stupid if it was just like, well, that's a fake file. And it's like, all right, you're right. And then it's just like, okay.
Yeah.
But no, they actually were going to go somewhere with that. But no.
No. Out of
No.
there.
But yeah, that's a. It could have been a very interesting storyline, and I would have
Indeed.
loved to have seen what would have happened, because that would have kept them in LA, because that's where the crime happened, and she would probably be put on the case, and she'd probably take over for Thompson, considering she's like his right-hand man in a way in New
Yeah.
York, and maybe start a branch in New Jersey or something. I don't know.
No, I mean that was definitely a Stark facility.
I have no idea, Mom.
Yeah,
I
it
think
doesn't make
that.
any fucking sense. It's a multiverse thing and I hate it. So there we go. Anyway,
Well, let's talk
what
about.
are we doing next,
Well,
Natalie?
let's talk about the seasons.
Oh.
Not yet. So
It's
the seasons. Listen, I really like both of the seasons of Agent Carter. I think they both have merits in their own way. I think maybe recency bias is playing into it, but I really love season two. I think it's a lot of fun. It's a different vibe, but I do love season one. See, that's the complicated thing. They just are
Okay.
completely different to me.
Okay, go ahead.
I think that the first one has a lot of its roots in Captain America, and they're in the New York. They have a completely different vibe. Film noir, like super secret agent kind of things, really cool. And this other one was more of a supernatural drama and but also a comedy at the same time. It's a whole thing. But I don't know, they both have merit. I think they both are good, but I think that recency being what it is, I really like the second season. Maybe it's because we get resolutions to a few things that I wanted re resolved in the first
The Sousa
season,
and Peggy thing.
obviously. But at the same time, I think the new characters that were introduced are great. I think I really like Wilkes. I like Sanderley. I like Rose. I mean, Rose wasn't introduced in this season, but she was introduced in the first season. But don't know. I like both of them. I do love season one, though. That's the hard thing. I think they're probably even for me because they have similar highs and similar lows. And
So I'm going to say this.
okay.
I prefer season one, and the reason I prefer season one is that it was tighter. And I felt like it had a very well written, more quips. It had a tighter story. I felt like there was great character development. There was good emotional pull. I really liked the fact that it resolved stuff and but left you wanting more, you know, those kinds of things. I felt like 10 episodes was too many episodes for season two. I felt like the science fictiony stuff, there are plot holes in there that are they
Yeah,
need
that's true.
to like really drive a big truck into. Oh yes, really. And yeah, there were that it some of it like it just didn't move as quickly to me. Like I
Sure.
really liked the pacing of season one over season two, so I definitely have a preference. I honestly, you know, you've got great acting, you've got good solid writing in both seasons, but the first one I think is as a season better.
I think I could agree with that. I think that, yeah, I think it is recency bias that was making me say that. I think that the first season is probably better because it does, again, it has its roots in Captain America, but not like too much. It's like an ode to it. It's not necessarily like directly linked. And I it depends on what you're going for, what kind of show you're looking for. And because they do really do switch things up in season two, which in many ways I appreciate, but at the same time I do like, I think the first season is better, but I liked both of them. I wouldn't say skip season two. I'm just
No, I wouldn't say skip season two either. And if there had been a season three, would we have watched it? Yeah, for sure.
You know what
Yes.
I just thought of in the first season? There is, hey pal, I'm just a pal, and so I think that does push it over the top for me. I know I reference it all every time, but I cannot. It lives rent
Hey.
free in my mind.
The whole montage, and you know I hate montages of people beating up Jarvis because they hate Howard.
Hilarious,
It's
hilarious,
so fucking funny.
so funny.
So yeah, I felt like it just was tighter. That's all
I
I
think
can
I
say.
will say I liked Howard maybe better in the second season.
Well, we saw more of him.
Yes, but also I think that you saw genuine growth from
Yeah,
him
true.
and him mostly being a help and not a hindrance, which
Well, and you
is
saw him being sciencey rather than just lecherous. So
exactly.
yeah.
And so I liked that about it. Season to season with different characters, you can tell. I think Jarvis has more jokes in the second season. I think that's he's great in the second season. I like the addition of Anna.
Yeah.
I
Gayla's
mean,
Duncan.
yes, Galas, but yeah, I think that everyone's really good in both. I think another thing is that I really like the dynamics that were built upon in the first season that were created in the first season that were built upon in the second. Like what I said with the trio of Thompson, Sousa, and Peggy really works for me.
Yeah, and they didn't ignore the past, which is helpful.
I liked that. I
Oh,
liked that.
that's good. I
It's
like.
like you have dirt on me. It's like, yeah, I know you were a born criminal, but I'm not gonna sell you out, man.
Yep. So
Yeah.
yeah, I really liked all of that. All right.
Speaking of war criminals,
What are we doing next?
we are going to be doing Upstairs, Downstairs 2010.
Yes, we are. And OMG. There are going to be elements of this that I'm thinking are going to be amazing. I think there are elements of this that are going to be like, what in the actual?
I think they're gonna be it's gonna be an interesting discussion. I'm really excited for it. But at the same time, the one thing I am concerned about is that we very recently watched it for the first time. Was it when did we watch it? Was it
Spring
spring
break?
break?
I think so.
Yeah. It was spring break we watched it and we watched all of it. Me, you, and our listener watched all of it like within the span of maybe a
2 days.
day and a half.
Yeah.
And I will say, again, it's a recency thing, but there's so few actual like episodes and stuff like that, and it moves very quickly. Like, there are so many time jumps. It's a lot like House of the Dragon in that way, whereas there's a ton of characters that you don't remember the names of, and everything's happening and everything crazy is happening. It's just like, okay, you just got to be along for the ride.
Yeah, there's an element of that. I think I like it 1,000 times better than House of the Dragon.
Oh, again, yeah, because Matt Smith this shit it's gets like, crazy. So,
it's an interesting parallel because Upstairs Downstairs 2010 has Claire Foy, whereas House of the Dragon has Matt Smith.
You know that's so true.
They are both playing against type in a way. Although I would say Matt Smith is playing more to type. Like he's much more of like
the suave
playboy
cool guy. You know?
But he goes like 1,000 times further in House of the Dragon. But he's the only good thing in House of the Dragon. Whereas I think there are some other good things in Upstairs Downstairs.
There's some crazy shit in them.
There's crazy shit.
Listen, sure. I lost my mind during a few episodes of Upstairs Downstairs. I went feral in some of the characters. And they were characters I didn't expect to do things that were that crazy. And I was like, fuck off. You're kidding.
We're going to have such a good time. Don't give anything away.
It's another situation very similar to Agent Carter, where I think they were going to have a third season and then they just don't.
Let's just kill everybody. Sorry.
No, there were literally like 3 or 4 episodes in the last season. We were watching the last episode. We were like, we'll save the last 2 episodes. We watch an episode and then it's over and we're like, there's no more? How is there no more?
Well, let's just see how it actually plays out when we watch it again. Because really, that first watch, you're kind of like, fuck.
It was a lot. It was a ride.
So this should be a fun ride to revisit.
Including,
hey, we have listeners in other countries, and we are so grateful to you. And we are hoping that you join us just like our regular listener does. And that you have a drink or 12 or a whole bottle.
Or 12. Let's not encourage that.
Might be like full bottle worthy.
We'll be sharing the memes.
Yes. What? Hey, am I a meme?
No, not you. I'm talking about the memes from Upstairs Downstairs. Yes. But yes, you are also a meme.
I'm not a meme. Not a meme. Anyway.
I swear to God, today in a regular conversation, I said, stupid plan. Bring back one of those.
It's a genuinely stupid plan. Do you know where I saw that guy? The friend who's driving the truck.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Wheel of Time.
Okay.
Season 3, which is the Rosamund Pike fantasy thing. It's a show that I really like, much like many of them, like the first season. The second and third seasons less so, but it's Rosamund Pike.
Yeah. I love Rosamund Pike.
I do. Yeah. So anyway, hey, maybe we'll do Wives and Daughters. It could happen.
God, that's another one I have a lot of opinions about.
It's true. Anyway, so let's do Upstairs Downstairs next, and then we'll find something. We might need an action thing after that. We'll see.
For our listeners.
Yeah. All right. We are looking forward to having you join us. We hope that you do. And
cheers.